That conversation we were just having, that ain't going on the podcast.
Can't do it. Can't do it.
That was fascinating.
We won winners.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're back, man. And you have your voice.
I do have my voice a little bit.
You could have dropped the album with that voice you had, though.
It was raspy, wasn't it? It was raspy. My voice was raspy.
It was raspy. Yeah. People have gotten paid a lot of money for that.
Yeah.
Raspy voice. And you have lyrical content. So you should have put out a quick album.
Okay.
Pumped it out there. You know how to put, you had a label before. You know how to do that.
Yep.
Turn around, get some Afro beats on it.
Mm.
We weren't thinking.
Yep.
We didn't take advantage of that opportunity.
I know, but it's not even about content anymore. So I should have maybe done something bizarre. Maybe like I should be MC Thong and like wear a thong and just rap. Because nowadays you don't even need talent, J-Bell. All you need is something bizarre. You got to do something bizarre for them to.
You just got to make people upset.
It's ridiculous.
You just need to make, you need to put people on both sides of the fence.
Yep.
There you go.
Yep.
That's where
that
we
would have been it. Yeah.
You can't be neutral. Mm-mm. And considerate.
Not in today's world.
You have to be extreme.
Forget it.
You have to be in your corner. You're with me and you're against me.
That's it.
There's a lot of people making a lot of money off of it.
Yeah.
Don't know how long. Mm. Somebody just got fired recently on
Tucker Carlson.
Yeah.
I heard.
And Don Lemon on CNN.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So Tucker Carlson, that was because of the whole lawsuit, right? Yeah. They lost like almost Fox lost like $1 billion or something.
$788 million to the voting Dominion, the voting system, because they said that the votes were counted wrong, proven to be wrong, had to pay, were liable.
And they settled. Why he fired him. Yeah.
Yeah. And it came out that he didn't, in his text messages, believe what he was saying.
Yeah. So he was just spreading disinformation.
And didn't even like the people he was saying he supposedly liked.
Correct.
So, yeah.
You know, when you see more and more things like that, man, you realize how scummy human beings can be, man.
Yeah,
scummy.
I think some people are just willing to do whatever it takes to achieve the goal they have in mind, whether it's fame, fortune, anything, whatever's important to them. Some people, they're willing to cross and do anything. I mean, that's why you have big financial crimes. I remember when I first got into finance, my business partner told me, hey, people steal money, get caught eventually. Like, why they do it, how they do it, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They eventually get caught.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen people do certain things, and I've been in the game so long where I've seen the outcome. I'm like, it was purely greed.
Yeah.
And you could see the motivation to that. And you can see kind of little twinkles of information that make it make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, seeing it now. I mean, you have a person who was the biggest person in news media in America. That show he had on Fox was the most viewed news program. And he would do anything to get the attention of the viewers.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
And it cost him a lot of money. And I wonder if he would have actually believed it.
Would they have fired him, or would it have changed? Yeah. I got you. Yeah.
I mean, that's just an assumption. Glad to have you back, though.
Yeah. Thank you, J-Bell. Happy to be here.
Yeah. I'm very happy. You were in Africa again, leading the charge with NFL Africa. Just amazing what you're doing. Unbelievable, OC. I'm so proud to watch.
Are you talking about like the friend of NFL Africa, or like which?
Oh, you? Yeah. Yeah. No. You are friend. NFL Africa.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
You are. I don't care what anybody calls you.
Yeah.
You're NFL Africa.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Mm. And I just, it's amazing what's happening. I know I talk about it a lot here, but we have to.
Yeah.
We have to tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Our people want to hear the truth, especially something you're doing like that. Briefly talk about the experience.
Yep.
And then I want to even go into what's happening with one of your younger players that's in the academy right now, who I got a call from a predominant school that was like big college.
Mm.
I won't reveal it.
USC.
USC.
You can reveal it. Yeah.
I just, it's your, literally was like, man, we got OC's kid in here.
Mm.
Unbelievable. Unreal.
Mm.
I mean, and this is USC, bro.
Yeah.
They see him. Look what you're doing, man. Tell us about Africa.
Mm.
Talk about what's happening with these guys. You're changing lives, bro.
It's crazy. First of all, we did it in Nairobi, and that was incredible. I think, first of all, the city itself, beautiful. If you haven't been to Kenya, you got to go check it out.
I'm going to get on that plane soon.
Yeah, you have to, man. So the whole experience itself was incredible. It was the second one. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of the players coming out from America, from the NFL. We had some talented guys who are going to be in the academy pretty soon. Some talented guys. So everything is kicking up, man. Everything is kicking up a notch. So overall, it was really, really cool and a great experience to be there.
Can you explain to people how you run this system? Like, you filter all of this talent, right?
Yep.
And you get them down to these camps.
Yep.
I mean, we know how big this is. How vast and large Africa
is,
right? So
crazy.
You're scouring the continent.
All the continent,
these camps.
Yep.
Then you got to be the best in these camps.
Yep.
Now you get them, the ones at the academy, not a lot of experience, but crazy talent because of your filtration system.
Yep.
Talk about that process. Like, how did you come up with that? Like, was that on the fly?
It was on the fly. It's just, so... started in Nigeria, obviously, which was where I'm from, is the base. But then you realize, okay, it can't just be about Nigeria. You got to go to all these different countries. So now you have to find people who can go into all these different countries. And they're so diverse. You understand what I mean? Because everybody likes to think of Africa as like a monolith, but it's really not. It's so completely different. It's like England, France, Germany, different cultures, right?
That's
how Africa is.
Yeah.
And so you have to go into... find people who can go into all those different places, and then, you know, you find the talents and then you bring them all together. But I will tell you this, and there's a lesson to be learned in what happened this year and what happened last year in Ghana. Mm-hmm. Last year in Ghana, I think the age was different, right? So we were going for like the guys who can go to the IPP as well as the academy,
okay.
Right?
Yep.
This year... we did mostly for the IPP, right? Nice. No, mostly for the academy, which is the younger
kids. Yeah.
Younger kids, right?
Okay.
But the talent that we saw last year, to be honest, I think was better than this year.
Why is that?
Good. Very, very good. I'm glad you asked that question. So last year, the camp was in June, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so from the time we finished our thing in February till June, I was on ground myself.
Yeah, yeah, you were out there scouring.
Yeah. I was doing it myself.
Uh-huh.
I went to those places myself, and I was there.
Boom, boom, boom.
I had to see it for myself, because in my head I was like, I'm not going to leave this up to anybody else besides my own eyes.
Yeah.
Same people who... were with me last year, like the scouts and all that stuff. We're like, okay, so now the camp had moved up to April, right? And so now we finished in February. So I couldn't hit the ground myself to see, but those guys were with me. They know what we're looking for, right? Yeah, they know what we're looking for. And so I didn't actually see the players myself until we got to Kenya. That was my first time laying eyes on them in person. Videos is one thing, but in person,
it's a whole different thing.
Completely different thing. And so I was like, you know what? At the end of the day, no matter what happens, you have to do the work, J-Bell.
Yeah.
There's no way around it. You have to do the work. If you want success, you must do it.
This is fascinating.
Yeah.
Okay, you said something that I want to dig into. You talked about the diversity of people, right? So you know you're going to these different places, so you have to have different people in these different areas that you can lean on, right? Because obviously it's all different. But yet you are not making it an excuse saying, hey, these people are the experts in their area. I still, as the general manager, as the owner, as the person who knows the direction we're going in, I need to get on the ground and see it.
You have to. You can't put that on can't do it. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because ultimately, you're responsible for that. Ultimately, you are. So you have, people will always find a million and one excuses. Like, for instance, we have like a couple of, we have more slots for the Academy this year, right? For Africa.
Uh-huh.
But from what I saw, I was like, no, we're not.
We're not going to do it.
We're not going to do it.
Takes a lot for you to say that.
Hurts.
Yeah.
Because I know what these people are going through.
Right.
You understand what I mean? Like, I know what's going on ground, and I know what they have to go back to.
Yes.
But I know for this to work long term,
has to keep winning.
Has to be the best of the best. And so now I'm like, okay, we're only gonna bring two, but even though we have that can't happen again.
These two will be
exactly. But then not only that, now it sets the standard for everybody else.
Oh yeah, I didn't think about that.
Everybody else, because we all saw what we saw. Chris was there. He knows what we saw there, right?
Right.
And if we're denying them, then the ones who are here,
they better be great.
You better be. You understand? You better be. And to me, it lifts everything up even higher if we continue to push that standard further and further. It's just what you have to do.
Wow. Interesting, right? One thing.
Mm.
You kind of threw me for a curve, which you always do, because you talked about everybody involved seeing what you saw.
Mm.
And I thought, which I don't know why I thought it, because it wouldn't be you saying this, you were going to say, hey, they obviously didn't. Mm. That's all, you know, got to get better there.
Mm.
You immediately took responsibility.
Yeah.
Like immediately.
Yeah.
And that says a lot. Especially or something I wanted to talk about that this really ties into. And that's collaboration.
Yeah.
And before we get into that, I wanna let everybody know, like, one thing that works for us is our collaboration.
Yep.
And it's really easy for me to say that because I collaborate with someone who's more intelligent, more talented and more emotionally stable than me.
Crazy, bro.
So it's quite easy to collaborate with somebody like that. But yet, I do a lot of the talking.
Yep.
You make a lot of the decisions. But I'm heard.
Mm.
And I feel like I could say something and have this whole dissertation, and you could come back and tell me that's not going to work and we're going to go this way. And I'm like, cool, because I was heard.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I feel, because I know that you have these skills that I don't, and I trust them.
Mm.
And then I could sit there and listen to them all the time and then do them, but I would never feel heard. But
yeah.
Yet I do. Great leadership by you.
Yeah. And that's a problem, I think, that we have a lot, because everybody wants to feel in control. Everybody wants to be in control of the situation,
yes,
right? They want to control, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what good is that if, because you don't know everything.
It's impossible.
You know?
And you don't have the time.
You don't have that. And you don't have a lot of the answers. So, for instance, when you're talking, right, I'm actually listening. Mm-hmm. I'm not listening to answer to you, like you said. It's mm-hmm. the thing called active listening.
Yep.
So I'm hearing every single thing you're saying,
yes,
right? And then the things that make sense, in my head, I'm like, hey, this boom, boom, this makes sense. And then the
yes.
other things, I'm like, hey,
I
don't know about this one right here, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that way it's a joint effort, because it's not just what I'm saying. It's a mix of what I'm thinking and what you're thinking, mm-hmm. as opposed to either what I'm thinking alone or what you're thinking alone. Unless clearly what you're saying makes more sense than what I'm thinking, then we're going to roll with that.
Yeah, you've pivoted quickly.
Right away.
I've seen
plain and simple.
Yeah.
But a lot of times people want to maintain control.
Mm.
They don't want to disperse that control. And it always ends up costing them, bro.
Always. I like tying things to the NFL because I love the NFL.
Yep.
I love the game. You know that.
Mm.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Everybody's been waiting for this. Everybody knew he was going to the Jets.
Mm.
It happened. Cool. All that. You and I don't like discussing that. We like discussing the why.
Yeah.
And when you look at this and you start to dig into the structure of that team, one team that doesn't have an owner, it has a president that's voted in. He's got a lot of power.
Mm-hmm.
You have your GM. But it's different. I think, and I'm saying this because you've been in a situation where you went straight to the owner and had a conversation,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
It happens everywhere else. Mm-hmm. When I was in Dallas, people went and talked straight to Jerry.
Yeah.
It was amazing. If you was that guy, you can go into his office.
Mm.
So cool, right? I want to get this figured out. Tom Brady, hey, straight to the top.
Yep.
Straight to Kraft. Mm. You hear that kind of stuff. When you talk about Rodgers, you can say whatever you want. Well, he was your key employee.
Mm.
He was significant. And I think you can say whatever you want. The lack of collaboration caused this to end.
Yeah.
Whether his decisions were right or wrong, I believe that there wasn't that active listening.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they were like, yeah. All right, whatever, we got you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but we're gonna do this.
Yeah.
That's why I think this came to an end.
Mm-hmm.
Why else would he wanna leave? And do they learn from this as an organization? I'm not saying who's right or wrong, but there's a lack of collaboration with your key employees. I get it. You have to look for the future.
Mm.
You have to make decisions for the future of the team.
Mm-hmm.
But you gotta make a profit now.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard out there.
Yeah.
Winning is your profitability.
I think, and this is, it's a fascinating subject to me, because working for the NFL
mm-hmm.
as a player, and now on the other side, I see the benefits of looking at it both ways.
Yeah. That's why we're having this conversation.
I see how you have to look at it both ways,
yes.
right? Because player power
mm-hmm.
ultimately is not as good for business.
Right.
And business power ultimately is not as good for the player.
Mm-hmm.
you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yep.
They diverge.
That's why it's always a negotiation.
Right.
Nobody's ever truly happy.
Correct. And then what you see,
concessions.
What you see in a lot of other leagues, whether that's Premier League or soccer or basketball, is the balance is off.
It's a lot of player power.
A lot of player power, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for the players, that's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great thing because they get to decide whatever they want to do and boo, boo, boo. And then in the NFL, it's opposites
mm-hmm.
in a way, right? Like the league and the teams
are. The margin's getting tighter, but you're right.
The leagues and the teams are in control, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
yeah. Yeah. And so if there's a way that it can kind of like meet right at the middle, that would be the perfect sweet spot, because I believe too much player power
mm-hmm.
is actually detrimental to the business of a lot of these leagues. I believe that's it might be incorrect, but that's just my belief.
Yeah.
And too much business power, too much team and owner power is detrimental for the player. It needs to be here, but nobody has figured out quite how to get that equilibrium right.
Don't you think some teams are managing it much better?
Some teams are.
Yeah.
They're given the illusion.
Oh.
They're given the illusion that they are. And I think in a lot of respects, the teams that are managing it uh-huh. that way
uh-huh.
are managing it because they feel like they don't necessarily have a choice. Like the play is so good, right? Mm-hmm. The play is so good
mm-hmm.
and they don't want to lose this player at any cost that they're willing to bring this guy in closer to allow them to make decisions, or at least make it seem like they're you know, have input on what's going on.
Okay,
I think that's what's going on. So whenever you see a team in the NFL that's doing that, you're like, okay, this guy is a absolute. Like, for instance, now, if Mahomes or Joe Burrow, if they're like, listen, I want input into you, you're going to have to give it to them. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to have to give it to them.
Yep.
And there's no escaping that because they're going to have options. They're going to have a bunch of different – and they already got money.
Yeah.
So you can't talk to
and
them.
And ownership is tight in Cincinnati, but they're about to break the bank for Burrow.
They ain't got no choice. Yeah. They don't have a choice. And so whenever you're a player, mm-hmm. right, who is in that particular position or in a situation where you do have some sort of leverage, mm-hmm. you owe it to – yourself, and you owe it to the players coming behind you to push as hard as you can. Because you're the only person who can kick that door down. Nobody else can do it.
Without a doubt. Okay, interesting. All right, collaboration. Let's talk about the two Super Bowl winning teams and use this manifesto we are drawing up here. I don't know why I wanted to use that word.
That's a good word.
I wanted to use it in a positive light. Okay. Because we're talking about teams that I think do it. These two teams obviously are good. What do we know about Andy Reid? You played against him a ton of times. I played against him a lot. He seems to adapt well to his players' personalities. Collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to accept who you are, allow you to be you inside the parameters of the organization, right? Collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to say, you do this well. This is your skill set on the field. So we're going to design this for you. Does this work for you? Do you believe this too? Yes, I do, coach. Collaboration. Right?
Yep.
This is what you've heard about him.
Mm.
From a team building standpoint, they're always, now they've got it right with the quarterback, but they're always looking for the future. But they're always fixing what immediately needs to be done to be successful next year. All right, their quarterback was down on the ground. This will never happen again.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna upgrade this offensive line. What are they doing off season? Boom, got it done. Is that the best for 5 years from now? Maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the best for next year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you won a Super Bowl. You know, we're going to let a key player go because he doesn't want to be there. But yet we understand because we've collaborated with our quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we're going to let number 10 go. Are you cool with that?
Yep.
We're going to do certain things. All right, cool. I see the vision. Collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
Philly, quarterback, just gets the chalupa, Jalen Hurts.
Mm.
What do you hear about him? First guy in, last guy out, briefcase, gets better every year. He works harder than everybody.
Yep.
So you reward him because – if you don't reward that OC, what are you telling everybody else about hard work?
Yep. Doesn't pay. You can't have that. Can't have that at all.
That's understanding. They've built their team. They have a philosophy with ownership, what they're going to do, offense and defensive line, that's what they do. But yet, they changed everything offensively for one guy who they just played. Collaboration.
Yep.
And both those teams, do they allow their stars to shine and promote them?
Mm-hmm. 1,000%.
So when you look at the top, I see collaboration.
Yep.
We can keep going all the way down that hill.
Yeah, and at the bottom, there's no collaboration. It's just, boom, there's a theme.
There's a theme.
Thread.
There's a thread here. And I think everybody in their own personal lives they've dealt with, whether it's work or at home, kids, people you love. When you collaborate, things seem to figure themselves out because you got all this information you wouldn't have had.
Exactly. Pattern recognition, J. Bill.
Hey, man. And I'm a person who had it sometimes
and
didn't have it other times.
I don't know. You got to recognize patterns, bro.
You got to see the patterns.
Yeah, and follow them. Be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's just logical. Let me do this. A lot of people don't do that.
No. What do you think about when, and you've been on teams, you've had all this, and then somebody comes in an organization, new coach, whatever, GM, all that stuff, player, and they don't have that level of collaboration?
A lot of times, it usually doesn't end well. They have to find a way to develop that. It's either they come in and they are so dynamic, so incredibly gifted that they don't require that as much.
Yeah.
Right?
Has happened.
It's either that.
Yes.
Or they get run out of town quickly. One of those two. So you have to almost recognize your skill set. Recognize, okay, you know, maybe I thought I was this, but now I see that I'm really not. Let me bring these guys in. Let me collaborate a little bit more, right? Or you come in and you're like, this is my way. It's the highway. My way of the highway. And you're so good that you're winning regardless.
Results.
You gotta follow it.
Results. Huh. Like Belichick hasn't had to collaborate, but if he doesn't win this year.
He's starting. He has to now. See how things are changing around New England? Ever since Tommy Boy left, things are changing. He had that situation and I felt guilty to this.
Yeah.
I really did. I was like, this really is about Belichick. Mm. I felt like that for a long period of time until Tom left. And I was like, maybe not so much, right? And so now the way he operated when he had that Brady with him and they're just winning, my way or the highway. Now you can't do those same things anymore because the results just are not there. And the NFL is a results-driven business. They don't care what you did for them 2, 3, 4 years. Nobody cares about that. Like, what are you doing now? You have another losing season, sir. And, you know, we're just going to we'll talk to you later. If you have a losing season, they move on.
And there was a brain drain. Obviously, you lose your coordinator, and then your quarterback, who was, you know, who had a really good year, that was his first year.
Yep.
Yeah. Goes in his second year, and he's not playing well. You start losing faith.
Yep.
That's all we want to do is play well. Like the people, when you have authority. As far as the agenda is concerned, everybody involved, for the most part, that's around you, they want to do well, right?
Mm.
They want to have success, and they want to be a part of that success. So when they're telling you something, and there's that collaboration, it's usually directed towards, I think this will be the best. This will work for us.
Mm-hmm.
So if there isn't that, and they're not doing well, oh my gosh,
yeah, it's problems.
They want to throw you over the ship
quickly.
They want
get out of here.
Goes back to what you were saying earlier with managing the situation you are, understanding that this is really important, getting this talent, giving these guys opportunities, and being in a position to say, I'm going to take less of this resource to preserve
integrity.
Boom. That meant a lot.
Yeah.
That
moved painful.
Me.
Yeah.
That moved me because where we are in the off season, everybody's got an off season in life. Everybody's goes through cycles, busy, crazy, you know, you're in the weeds, you're not. When you have that time, whether it's in your organization, your household, whatever, really think about how you're collaborating and how you can be better.
Mm.
Individually, right? That's all we're responsible for. How we could be better, because ultimately there's some knowledge out there that is obtainable that someone can deliver, but the door has to be open.
Yep.
I like that sweater you have on.
Appreciate that, man. I've been rocking these. My wife bought me one, and then I bought like 10.
Did she tell you the price? Did you know the price before you bought them?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I was very, very well aware. But, you know, I decided I was going to treat myself just a little. You know, just a little. I've worked so hard, J-Bell. I've worked
sweater.
So hard, bro.
That's a good sweater.
Yeah, so I decided I'll treat
when
myself.
When you can go top button, right?
Yeah.
And the shoulders.
They sit out, right?
Woo!
Like that, J-Bell?
That's when you got them thangs.
So crazy, bro.
That's when you got them thing.
Pop it.
Just that's when you go into, you know, that's what happens when you're an executive, OC. That's the, you know what I'm saying?
Don't know if I'm an executive yet. but some things better happen. don't know if I'm an executive, but something's got to give.
Oh my gosh. Last thing, man, any thoughts about, I mean, it's early, you've been crazy. Is there anything about the draft that fascinates you or anything that you care about?
But J-Bo, you know I don't follow the draft.
But you listen to stuff.
Yeah, but you know, it's to me it's like, okay, who's, is it Bryce Young or CJ Stroud or
it's gonna be
Anthony
Bryce.
Richardson?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like all those, I don't, like, for me it's, for the past couple of years, there was a time when I was really, really invested in like the draft.
Yeah.
That's when I was a player.
Yeah.
I was like, and I wanted to know
who's coming
in.
If we draft the quarter first round, we got a problem.
Yeah, there's an issue here. Yeah. And for the Giants, they just kept on drafting first rounders.
But it made sense why.
I get it. Yeah. Cool beans, right? Yeah. So that was a 12-year fight. No, 10-year fight.
We do not like first rounders being drafted in our position.
Bro.
Anybody listening, that's all we care about.
Did they got to play those guys.
Oh,
they had to play them.
When we drafted Dante Robinson in Houston, I said, well, no, so
for me.
Not a nickel anymore. I'll be the fourth, fifth corner.
That's what it is, right?
Happened overnight.
10 years, I had to fight that battle with them. They just bringing them in, right? So when I retired and I started to notice like the truth is the hit rates of, you know, is so low. And so for me, investing all my time in this player, blah, blah, blah. When I know that very few of them are actually going to make an impact in the NFL, I was like, you know, I'm just going to wait to see how it shakes out.
Yeah.
Right? That's just the way I've been over the past couple of years. So I don't really focus too much on the draft.
That's smart. I kind of do the same. I study stories right now just to kind of where are they from, you know, who are they? But it's when they get on the team.
Yeah.
I just remember all the rookies we focused on last year and, you know, majority never really produced, but some did.
Yeah.
But it's the philosophy of what the team's doing. Does it fit? Does it make sense? And we don't know that until about week five.
Week five. Then we'll know. Like, okay.
We'll be like,
that guy was good.
That Tariq Woolen right there, that guy they got?
Yeah.
Pete Carroll,
let's watch
tall corners, makes sense. You know, you're like, oh. You look at Seattle and what they did, you're like, oh. You know, I'm telling you, man, it's, once again, back to what we talked about, team building, collaboration, all that. You see it all play out. But to your point, we won't know until we know.
Yes, sir.
Well, I see you again in 2 weeks.
Of course.
We can keep that voice together.
I hope. See me in 2 weeks.
If not, we putting that album out.
We're putting it out,
Raspy.
Boy. Putting it out. Uprise label. Uprise Records. Jay Bellinosi. Uprise. Like, but they were just...
I'm sorry. They collaborate without us.
I'm so stupid, bro.
Hola, mamacita, come with me for thunder. This your buddy, Kuma Wanda, striking lightning thunder. Why you looking like it's August, it ain't even summer. What's it on your bumper, tell me what's your name and number.
I get numbers when I'm on the street, but I do not talk too much. Jump a gang on the street from the way, but I do not talk too much. When the sun's out, she looks swaggy. And I'm blacked out with no belly. Tell a girl, come to you, we make money. Damn, my lip tastes just